I want to teach you a truth today that I really, if it does not apply to you right now, it won't be many days and it will. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all." Look at me for a moment. God doesn't promise to keep you from problems. Whoever has this idea that once you get saved, all your problems goes away, have not read the Bible. Now, I want to focus on one little statement here. God says that he is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Healing a broken heart. I'm not a medical doctor, but I've got a good amount of knowledge and experience in the field of people and their physical healing. I don't claim to be an expert medically, but I probably have a little above average experience with it. I've worked with a lot of people and helped them through their problems. And because of that, God uses our physical bodies often as a way to illustrate truth in the Bible. Now, we often say Grace Baptist Church is a hospital. I believe churches ought to be hospitals for God. It's a place where people come get help because their hearts and their bodies and their spirits are broken by sin. Church is not a place for perfect people to come to display themselves like museum pieces. By the way, that's why most churches are empty, because there are no perfect people. Church is a place where we come because we're broken by sin and get help. By the way, did you know doctors get sick too? I am no more prone from being sick by sin than you are. I'm no different than you are. My job is, but I am a human being. I am a sinner. I have afflictions. I have problems like everybody else has. I just tried to take my meds. No, I've spent my whole life from the age of 13 on, that's over 40 years of my life, trying to serve God. I am not a great human being. I love God and I love people. I spend a lot of time, though, with hurting people. I spend time with people who have physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, mental pain. Not a week, hardly, of my life passes without word of somebody dying. I mean, not a week. I know there's not a week where I don't get bad news of somebody with cancer or car accidents or this problem, that problem, major calamity. May I say something? It's all pain, and all pain hurts. It's all pain, and all pain hurts. Now listen to this statement. It doesn't matter if it's self-inflicted pain or if it's pain inflicted by somebody else on you, all pain is pain. May I ask you a question? If you're working in your shop and you chop your finger and go to the hospital, they say, "How did you do this?" and say, "I was working and I chopped my finger almost off." They don't look at you and say, "Oh, you did it to yourself, so we're not going to help you." No, they need to know how you did it, not necessarily why you did it. Now listen to the statement. Why is it then when Christians inflict pain on themselves by sin, when they come to the church to get help, there are Christians that look at them and say, "Well, you did it to yourself, you fix it yourself." No, church is a hospital. It doesn't, the care to fixing someone doesn't change because it was self-inflicted. The care is to be the same, whether it was self-inflicted or put upon you by somebody else. Let me show you what I mean. If you are injured in a car accident because of a drunk driver, we're to help you. But if you were the drunk driver and got hurt in a car accident, we're to help you too. Amen. Quit looking down your pharisaical snoot like you're somebody. You're a dirty, rotten scum of the earth sinner like everybody else. Amen. And it does not matter why you're hurt, you're hurt. Why do we think that if somebody knows better, then we're not going to help them? How many people get hurt at work that know better but still get hurt? Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having a good time right now. Amen, preacher. Broken bones heal. They may leave a tenderness or a little bit of arthritis might develop. Brother Josh had a broken collarbone from when he was a teenager. Well, I happen to know which side it is, and every once in a while I forget, and I'll walk up and grab him on the shoulder, and he'll go like this because that finger touches that spot. It still hurts him to this day. Sometimes I do it because it's fun to do, but other times I just forget. You say, what is that? But by the way, the bone is healed. It's not broken anymore. A deep cut will heal. It may leave a scar, but it's going to heal. Many have had surgeries and you've got scars from that. Some of you men, you've done stupid things and have scars from those things. So do I. And we won't talk about it. If I ever lose my hair, it will look like Frankenstein. I have so many scars on my head and times I've had stitches. You better hope the preacher doesn't lose. I'm going to have to paint my head. Because it will look like Frankenstein. Train tracks everywhere up there from stitches and scars. Now, the deep cut may need sewn up, but it will heal itself back together and may leave a scar, but it's not going to run blood the rest of your life. Something that I've noticed, though, and that is this. Many people don't allow their hearts to heal. Oh, they may physically get their heart worked on, but many people don't allow their heart emotionally to heal. Why is it we allowed cuts and broken bones and other things to heal, but we humans tend not to let our hearts heal? We want it to heal, but we don't allow it to heal. We allow bitterness, hatred, fear, the pain itself to keep us away from the part that heals our heart. I can tell you that I deal with broken hearts almost on a daily basis. I'll be honest with you. I don't get tired of it. I get weary because of it. But there's not hardly a day of my life go by that I don't have to help somebody with a broken heart. People tend to reopen their heartaches way too often. They don't allow it to heal. People pick the scab and tear the wound back open before it's healed, and then they wonder why it never heals up or it gets infected, gets nasty. Well, the Bible is the answer to everything we need in life. Dealing with a broken heart is no exception. God only mentions the term a broken heart really a few times in the scripture. It's not mentioned as much as you might think it is. But I think that it bears our looking into to see what God says about how a broken heart is to be handled. So it can heal. Number one. Are you ready? Number one. Holy Spirit filled preaching can heal a broken heart. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse number one. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse number one. For those of you that don't know, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now look at me. The Spirit of the Lord God. That is the what? Holy Spirit, right? Because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the what? Brokenhearted. Now look at me. That means this, the preacher who is filled with the Spirit of God is there to preach, to bind up the broken heart. Notice it needs bound. Not picked back open. Not left open. Not left there so that all the outside air and contaminants get in to infect it. It needs bound up so that it can heal. That means, by the way, it's talking to the man of God here. He hath anointed me to preach. It may not be that you like what is preached, but if it's Holy Spirit filled preaching, it will help heal your heart. Amen. I remember several years ago, Brother Harry was having some heart issues. We met him down in D.C. at the doctor at the hospital there, and they were going to do some testing, and I told my wife, I said, I don't think he's going to leave here today without surgery. And they did some tests and said, well, it's Thanksgiving's coming up. How about you come up back the week after Thanksgiving? And I had seen he had just unbelievable. I saw the pictures and said, Brother Harry, do me a favor. I've never done this. Don't you get out of this bed. I said, if you get out of this bed and get in that car and go home, you'll die before you get there. I said, Doc, can he have surgery today or tomorrow? And I think it was within a day or so he was in surgery. I think the next morning, if I'm not mistaken. By the way, they got him opened up, put his heart on bypass, and one of those arteries exploded. Had he not been on bypass, he would have been dead. Now, thank God I was there and had enough sense to step up. By the way, have never done it before or since that way. But can I tell you something? Nobody likes the thought of having their chest popped open, breaking the bone here, ripping everything out, pulling your heart out and working on it. But he's doing a whole lot better because they did. You may not like some of the things that are preached behind the Word of God. You may not always like the truth, but may I say this? You need it. It will help you. It will heal you. I'm going to go ahead and say this, even on a day like today. I think we ought to be at every church service we can be to.
That's right.
I think it's as important because there are truths that you need that will help you, whether you think you need them right now or not. The day's coming where you're going to need them.
That's right.
The sermon you miss may be the one that'll help you most. You need to open your heart and your mind to the truth and let the Holy Spirit speak. You don't have to like me. You don't have to like my personality, though it's very lovable. You don't have to like everything, how I say everything. But may I say this, the truth is what you need more than anything. May I say this, after you come to church, take the prescription as prescribed. In other words, don't just say, okay, I got the truth, I'm done. No, the purpose of the truth was so that you leave here and go live the truth, not just say that was a nice truth. Not just pick up the bottle for the prescription and you have the prescription sitting in your notebook or in your Bible at home. No, take the prescription. You can go to the pharmacy and get all the pills you want, but if you never put them down the hatch, it won't fix your problem. Everybody doing okay? Finding out what is wrong is only the first step to fixing it. Had we just found out Brother Harry had issues with his heart and sent him home, guess what? He'd have been in heaven by now. It took more than just finding out what was wrong. It was going through the process and the prescriptions to make sure we fixed the problem. Doing the truth is taking the medicine for your heart. By the way, going to a quack or a false practitioner is not going to help. It's going to make it worse. That means somebody with bad doctrine, somebody who doesn't use the right Bible, that is a wrong doctor. I don't care what label's on the church. Say, why is that, preacher? Because they're giving you wrong things and it will not help you. So, Holy Spirit-filled preaching, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach and to bind up the brokenhearted. Can I tell you something? You need Holy Spirit-filled preaching in your life if you have a heartache. When you have a heartache, don't run from church, run to church. Oh, I hear people say, well, I lost a loved one and the hardest place to go after I lost them was to church. It ought to be the easiest place to run to. You ought to know that you're going to, don't blame me for where you go to church then. But it ought to be that the Holy Spirit's presence is so much there and you're so much wanting to be in tune with the comforter of the Holy Spirit that you want to run there, not run away from there. So the Holy Spirit preaching can help heal your broken heart. Number two, are you ready? Everybody look at me for a second. I love you, and I'm not talking to any one person in this room. I'm talking to everybody, okay? I don't have anybody in mind, so if this is you, so be it, okay? Say, why'd you say that? Because when I tell you what point number two is, it's going to hurt some of you. Quit seeking pity for your broken heart.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 69, just a few pages over from where we started. Psalm 69. Oh, I love this. Psalm 69, look at verse number 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Now look at me. God does not say for us not to go get help. He said, quit seeking for pity. When you need help, you don't call every doctor in the four-state area.
Sorry.
And find out one that agrees with you to go do what it needs done. No, you go to a doctor. You listen to what they say. Listen to me. God doesn't say not to seek help. He says don't seek pity. The word pity is the term seek pity means this. Run person to person to get attention or to wander about to be noticed. That means you go from person to person. Maybe not physically, but you call down through every contact in your phone. Oh, I've got this problem. I need you. Oh, I've got this problem. And you tell the same story 17,267 times. Can I tell you something? Your problem only got bigger, not less. You are seeking pity, and it's not going to help your wounded heart. Say, what are you doing? Every time you tell the story, you're ripping the wound back open. That's why it's very unwise for you when somebody's going through a heartache to ask this question. How are you? What are you doing? How are you handling this? Those are questions that cause somebody to rip their wounds back open. In Jesus' name, I love you, but keep your big mouth shut.
Amen.
You're not helping them. You're making it worse.
Right.
I love you. I told you this one was going to hurt. But sometimes the doctor's got to cut you to make it better, amen? Seeking pity means you go person to 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 find people who will say, oh, I love you and we'll pray for you. Okay, it's one thing to say, I need you to pray for me, but it's another thing to seek pity for it. There are some people, I don't ask them, how are you? Because they're going to tell me. And I'm going to find out things I don't want to know. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know who, you got somebody in mind like that, don't you? Yeah. People who go person to person to get attention, telling everybody about their heartache, only opens the wound each time. By the way, you want people to hurt as badly as you do when you do that. When you go person to person, what you're saying is, I want you to hurt like I hurt. Everybody look at me for a second. I'm going to make a statement that is contrary to the world. This is contrary to man's psychology. You don't need somebody who has been through what you're going through to help you. You need somebody that understands the truth.
Amen.
Our lesson in Sunday school this morning was about alcohol. Did you know you don't need an alcoholic to help you out of alcoholism? Matter of fact, I've helped more people out of alcoholism, and I never touched a drop of the nasty stuff. Well, you just won't understand. No, you don't understand truth. I understand truth. I don't have to experience having a baby to help a lady who's had a baby. God knows I'm never going to have one. Praise the Lord. Never did, never gonna. And God knows if a man ever had a baby, none would ever have two, because ain't no man gonna go through that twice on purpose. Say why? Men are sissies. Why go through that pain twice? You see, when you start seeking pity from people, you're going person to person to person to person to person to person, because you want everybody to see how bad you're hurting, and you want them to hurt as bad as you hurt. May I say something? I don't want anybody to hurt like I hurt. My wife is sitting right down here. She doesn't know many of the heartaches you have because I don't go home and tell her everything. Say why? I don't want her to hurt.
Amen.
My job is to carry the load, not hers.
That's right.
If you call my wife and say, well, you know, because I talked to your husband, she's going to say, he didn't tell me. Well, preacher, don't you care about me? I care about you, but it's not my wife's job to carry that load. That's my job, not hers.
That's right.
It's her job to keep me happy and not cry about your problem.
Amen.
My job to cry about it. Everybody doing okay? I love you. But you wonder why I'm happy? It's because I don't depress my wife over it.
Amen.
My wife rarely ever asked this question. How was your day? What did you do? Say why? Because most of what I did, I can't tell her. Now she'll say, did you have a good day? Yeah. Did you get a lot done? Yep. But we don't go into specifics. Can I tell you something? Some of you that don't know how to speak to each other, the worst thing to do is try to pull everything out of somebody that has jobs to do that they can't speak about sometimes.
Amen.
You say, what are they trying to hide? It's not a matter of hiding. Sometimes you don't want to talk about work at home.
That's right.
Matter of fact, leave work at work. Don't talk about work at home. My wife and kids saw me take a briefcase home every day. But I'll promise you, that young man sitting right there can tell you he probably never saw me open my briefcase at home. If I did, it was after they were in bed or before they got up in the morning. Say why? Because when I was home, I was home. Now, there's times I had to take phone calls, emergencies, run out, go make visits, this, that, the other thing. I get that. But I wasn't bringing home work all day. It was time to go home and play with kids. It was time to sit on the floor and play trucks or wrestle, move the furniture and throw boys around, bounce them off the wall a few times. My son Jeff graduated from boot camp this week from the Air Force. I had to laugh. I was talking to him. He said, Dad, he said, these teenagers just out of high school, he said, drill instructor scared them. He said, he wasn't no worse than you, just a little louder. I love it. I love it. I love it. He said, it really wasn't that bad. Only my boys. I can't wait to get to tech school so I can go back to the gym and work out. I expect it to be tougher than this. Oh, don't talk like that at boot camp, all right? You know, he was ready for more. Too many people never get over heartbreak because they keep reliving the pain by talking to everybody. You don't get over pain by talking about how bad the hurt is. And going to seek pity, you're reliving the pain and reliving the symptoms over and over and over and over again. Why do you want to open it up every time? Is all you're doing is opening it up, making it a mess, and allowing infection or bitterness or nastiness to settle in. Now listen to this very carefully. A wounded heart heals when it's fixed and it gets put back into rhythm. I'm going to be very graphic for a moment here. When somebody has open heart surgery, amen, Brother Harry, they literally take your heart out, they put pipes up, and the machine pumps the blood through your body while the heart is stopped. They work on your heart and fix everything that needs fixed, do the plumbing and do the electrical work and fix the doors and the hinges and all the things that need done in there. They hook everything back up, turn the bypass off, and they wait. And they will tell you, magically, the heart will begin beating again. No, God made it to beat. But almost immediately, that heart starts back, and it starts back up in a normal rhythm. Your heart never stops beating. It stays in rhythm. If it's out of rhythm, they have to get it back so that you feel right. It's called AFib. Now listen to this very carefully. It can only heal if it starts beating again.
That's right.
If it doesn't start beating again, you're dead. Now listen to me very carefully here. You're not going to like what your preacher's about to tell you, but it's true. The best way to fix a broken heart emotionally is to get back in rhythm right away. If you don't, it's going to die.
That's right.
Well, I just want to run and hide and get away from life for a little while. And you're going to let your heart die.
That's right.
You need to get back in rhythm right away.
Amen.
I am not the greatest example of this. I realize that. Just December, my mother died. I was prepared to preach the day she died. We had ice that night and stuff, and we couldn't get to church. But I preached a funeral on Friday. Went soul winning on Saturday and took care of some things and helped another family. I preached all day Sunday. I preached her funeral on Monday. I preached Mrs. Diener's husband's funeral on Tuesday. I preached church Wednesday night. I stayed back in schedule. I kept doing everything I did. You say, some of you are worried, I'm going to fall off. No, I'm fine. I'm watching people go, he's getting closer. He's getting closer. I'm not going to take a swim, all right? I promise you. I'll push him in, but I'm not going to take it. Do you know what healed me so quickly? I stayed in rhythm.
That's right.
Wait a minute. I miss my mama. I miss calling her every morning at 7:15 like I used to. I drive by the cemetery every day of my life and can see from the road where her body lies in the ground. There's days I cry. There's days I'm happy. But you know what keeps me going? I stay in rhythm. If you stop when the heartache comes, you can't heal.
That's right.
And it begins to die. The world is full of bitter Christians who faced a heartache. They got out of church. They got out of rhythm. And now they're dead in their heart. They're bitter. They're angry. They're nasty. Say why? Because they got out of rhythm and never got back into rhythm to heal their heart. Get back to a normal routine immediately. Add to your routine some time to think and hurt, yes. But you've got to start a heartache back up right away to fix it. As soon as the procedure is done, start it back up so it can begin healing. The blood has to flow through it for it to heal. Otherwise, it dies. Boy, that's good stuff. May I say this? Going person to person, telling everybody how bad you hurt and how bad it was, only reopens the wound and stops the heart again. Quit stopping the heart. Let it heal. Say, preacher, how come you never talk about your burdens and your heartaches? Because I want it to heal. I want mine to heal. How about you? So, we said, number one, that the Holy Spirit-filled preaching can heal the heart. Number two, quit seeking pity for a broken heart. Number three, this is my favorite. Turn to Psalm 147. You want to know how to fix a broken heart, especially after you've gotten some help for it? Well, praise is the therapy to exercise a broken heart. Praise is the therapy to exercise a broken heart. Psalm 147, I love this. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He hath gathered together the outcasts of Israel. Watch this. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. How does he do it? Praise ye the Lord. Now look at me. Praise is how you exercise a heart that has been broken. Brother Harry, they didn't pull you apart, fix your heart, put it back together and say, lay in this bed the rest of your life.
Right.
Matter of fact, just a few hours after you got worked on, they had you up walking you. You didn't feel like it. Matter of fact, you didn't want to do it. And don't make him laugh, sneeze, or cough. I had to be careful. When people have heart surgery, I have to tone down my humor. Say why? Because laughing hurts. And I get that. Can I tell you something? Praise is thanking God for the good things he has done. Everybody listen to me and look at me for just a second here. That does not mean praise is thanking him for what caused your heart to break.
Right.
Nobody said you have to say, well, praise God, I had open heart surgery. Praise God, I've got coronary disease. Okay, that's called being ignorant.
Yeah.
Hate to tell you that. Now you might say, praise God, we have technology to keep me alive. But praise is finding something other than your heartache to thank God for.
Amen.
No, but God didn't say you have to praise me for the wrong, the affliction, the pain, the agony, the reproach, and the attack in your life.
Right.
But you could make a list of things in which to praise God for that are totally unrelated to your heartache, and you could start feeling better in life. Here's the problem. You'll heal faster and better when you get your mind off your problem and look at something else.
Amen.
True fact. True fact. 100 years ago, 80 years ago, Henry Ford with the Ford Motor Company, when his employees were sick, he would take work to their home for them. He would take work and have work sent to the hospitals. And it was a biological proven fact that Henry Ford's employees that had work to do while they were recovering healed 30% faster than people that didn't have anything to do.
Amen.
Why? They said, I have something I need to do and I need to get back to work. I'm needed somewhere, so I've got to heal. He did not do it because he was tight and needed the work done. He wanted to heal his workers faster.
Amen.
He did it to help his workers, not his work. Now listen to this. Why don't then, when we have a heartache, we not pull out a piece of paper or a 3x5 card and start listing some things we could praise God for? I got plenty of food at the house to eat. God knows I've eaten plenty. I could go a couple more days without it.
Amen.
I'm a reverse camel. I got my hump on the front. Amen? I'm working it down. 3 days a week at the gym. Trust me. Not happy time, but it's wearing down. I may not have six-pack abs, but I'm going to get rid of the keg. Amen? You know, make a list of things in which to praise God for. How about you write down a list of things that you could praise God for in your life? There's money coming in. Most of the bills are paid, amen? You've got plenty of food. You've got your family. You've got your loved ones. You've got this, you've got that. And make a list of things that you could praise God for. I'm not talking about the fact that you got a heartache. Praise God for things that are not related to the heartache. And take 15 minutes and say, God, number one, I'm going to praise you for this. He said you have to close your eyes and memorize it before you do it.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? By the time you get done praising God, it'll chase the pain away. You start shouting a while, it'll chase the pain away. There's days I get down a little bit. So all I got to do is look around. Think of all the miracles God gave us for this property and this building. Praise him for a little while. I ain't going to get discouraged very long. Mm-mm. Say why? Because I start praising God for everything else. And the devil can't stand praising God so much, he'll leave you alone for a little while. Praise is not a feeling based on a circumstance. It's an act of your will.
Amen.
Praise is not reactionary. It is an act of your will. If the only time you praise God is in reaction to a circumstance, you're not truly praising God.
That's right.
Praise is when you don't feel like doing it and you make the list and you do it in spite of the heartache. Well, preacher, I've got more month than I have paycheck to handle the bills. Find something to praise God for.
Amen.
So, praise is the therapy to exercise that broken heart. Number four. Boy, that's good stuff. Preaching, and right doctrine can heal a broken heart. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to turn to a few scriptures here. Look at verse number 7. Jeremiah chapter 23, look at verse number 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. 23, verse number 7. Jeremiah 23, verse number 7. I did read the right chapter, right? Yep, I did. Verse number 8. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the country whither I had driven them, they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because the Lord and because the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of the swearing of the land mourneth, and pleasant places are wilderness and dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, and in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. Now listen to me. Wrong preaching will bring broken hearts. Wonder how many people have sat in churches and heard preachers say, well, as long as you're right with God, everything's going to go okay. Oh, you're going through a problem. What sin do you have in your life? God must be judging you. Wonder how many people are out of church because of that kind of false preaching. I said it, false preaching. Did you not read Psalm 34 with me where it said, many are the afflictions of the righteous? You see, wrong preaching has done more to hurt people than you can imagine. I wish you knew how many people I meet that are very hard to get into church because some preacher violated them by preaching the wrong doctrine. Very difficult. But the right preaching with the Holy Spirit allows his work to work right. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. By the way, that's like saying, well, I had a bad experience with a doctor, so all doctors are bad. Can I tell you something? All doctors are not bad.
That's right.
They're human, but they're not all bad. If a preacher preaches wrong, doesn't make every preacher bad. Be careful that you don't unjustly. You say, well, I heard a story about this doctor, so I think all doctors are corrupt. That's very unfair. How about we look at your life and see how many sins you've done and call you bad? John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Can I tell you something? You know the best way to fix a broken heart, and that's somebody to preach the truth and have them get saved and allow the Holy Spirit to move inside their heart.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't move into your heart. The Holy Spirit does.
That's right.
It is he that indwells you. And it is he that is the one that can comfort your heart when it is broken. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4, you don't need to turn there. It says, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort others by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let me tell you something. You comfort people by having gone through problems. Not the same problem, but problems. And say, it is the comforter, not the situation, that is the issue. I don't have to have grown up in a drunkard's home and been beaten by a drunkard and watched my mom beat half to death and have my dad cheating on my mom and everything else to understand how to help somebody. I have learned who the Holy Spirit is, and because I've gone through problems and I've gone through not that problem but other problems, I'm able to help that person. Because it's not me, it is the Holy Spirit working through me and the Holy Spirit in them that we get through the problem together.
Amen.
Boy. Now, let the doctor tell you something that's going to hurt. Hiding from, running from, or keeping truth hidden causes the heart to break more.
That's right.
Parents, grandparents, let me teach you something. Don't lie to your children to keep them from having a broken heart. I think it's very unwise. I think it's very unscriptural for you to hide your children from pain.
Amen.
There are people in this room, you never went to a funeral or saw a dead body till you were an adult because your mom was afraid you might be traumatized. Death is part of life. Well, I don't want to hurt them and scar them forever. Then they're going to be scarred worse because they're not ready for it by the time they become an adult. Well, they're not emotionally strong enough. If you taught them from the time they were babies and small children that death is part of life, they won't be afraid of it. Amen. There's one sitting right there. That kid went to funerals before he was born. He'd been going to his funerals his whole life. I remember when he was just 2 or 3 years old. He'd say, "Daddy, can I touch him? Is that brother so-and-so? That's brother so-and-so. Can I touch it?" "Yeah, you can touch his hand." "Daddy, it's cold." That's what happens. He's not there. That's just a shell. That's just this. He's already in heaven. Oh, okay. He didn't have nightmares. The reason he has their children have nightmares is because you're afraid for them, not them. And you make them afraid. You tell them they're going to be afraid. You make it big and spooky and weird. If you quit doing it, don't worry about it. If every time they fall, you go, "Are you okay?" They might not cry as much when they fall. "Are you bleeding?" "No." "Rub it. Rub it. Rub it good and hard. Bring it here. Let me rub it. Is there a bone sticking through there?" "Nope, it's okay." "Preacher, that's mean, that's rough." Yeah, but they didn't cry every time they fell either.
Amen.
That's why when they're 25 going through boot camp, at the end of boot camp, he says, "Wish it was worse, can't wait to go to the gym and work out." Don't tell his drill instructor he said that. No, we want to run and hide. We want to hide people from pain. We want to coddle them, and it only causes the heart to break more and more and more. I'm going to make a statement here somebody's not going to like. Isolation to where all you do is think about your heartache will cause your heart never to heal.
That's right.
Worst thing we've done in our country is quarantine everybody to the point where they're afraid of anything. We are not obligated as human beings to keep somebody from getting sick. We are not obligated as American citizens to keep from getting somebody sick. You can't help but get sick. I hate to disappoint you. Now, I think we ought to be kind and courteous and not hack and sneeze and spit all over everybody or throw up on them or something like that. I get that. But you're not going to spend the rest of your life without ever getting sick. And putting 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 masks on isn't going to change it. The best thing that could happen to this world is Dr. Fauci steps off of it for a while.
Amen.
Like eternally. Very guy 1 year ago said masks will not do anything for the transmission of this virus. By the way, have you noticed since they started mandating masks that the infection rate went up, not down?
Right.
People are getting sicker because of it, because you're keeping all your own germs. And when you have that hot, moist air, it's attracting things, not getting rid of them. And I hate to disappoint you, a mask is only good in a sterile situation. And I'm not against you wearing one. But the fear that I might get sick. Guess what? I can go one better. You are going to get sick.
That's right.
You're going to get sick. There is no reason to shut churches down.
Amen.
We need more church right now, not less. If America ever needed church, they need church now.
Amen.
If America ever needed people's hearts to be healed, they need to be healed now, not less church, but more church. The Supreme Court ruled that the state of California is wrong and they have to allow churches to open. They were also wrong saying they could only open 25%.
That's right.
At least it was a partial step in the right direction. You need the fellowship of people to stay well and have your heart healed. You need more truth than you need lies. Sitting at home, hearing the lies about everything going on is not going to help you. Turn the stupid boob tube off the television, especially the news. Quit watching it on your phone, on your computer. Quit Googling and Facebooking all your news, finding out what all the weird, crazy people are doing, and do something that involves truth, not lies. No wonder people walk around depressed because all they do is fill their life with lies instead of truth. Hey, take the time you read news and read the Bible.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Don't let your life be influenced by the non-truth preaching. Wrong Bible, wrong methods, Christian psychology. There's no such thing. That's the term Christian psychology doesn't go together. I hate to disappoint you. That's like calling somebody a fat, skinny person. Those are two things that do not go together. I hate to disappoint you. Psychology is man's study of man's mind. Man is sinful. So a sinful man studying another sinful man leads to what? Sin. How about we use Bibleology?
Amen.
You don't need philosophy, you need the Bible.
Amen.
You need truth, not philosophy.
Right.
Well, I happen to have read this philosopher. Yeah. And he died too. Where is he? Can I tell you something? Did you know you can't overdose on truth? Did you know you can't take too many truth pills? When you read the gospel and take the gospel to everywhere, you can't overdose. You cannot overdose on the word of God. And you wonder why your heart hurts. You wonder why your heart never truly heals. You wonder why you never get over certain things. I gave you the recipe today and the prescription of how to fix it. God never promised you would go through life without a broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But he did tell us how to handle a broken heart. And he gave us the recipe. Holy Spirit-filled preaching. Quit seeking pity, praise, and the right doctrine and the right truth and the right preaching in our life will heal our heart. A lot of hurting people out there with a bitter heart, a broken heart. Doesn't matter if it's self-inflicted or if it was brought on by something else. Pain is pain. Let's quit judging why they have the pain and let's just try to help them with their pain.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We need to heal our hearts. There are people within the sound of my voice that are bitter and have never gotten over a heartache. A parent disappointed them. A divorce in your past. A death in the family. I wonder. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul.